Okay, cool. Well, I guess welcome to episode 9 of the all-new VR Side Chats podcast.
Welcome.
With my lovely co-host Alex.
Woo! I'm here. Yay!
I was gonna add something in, but I guess I don't need to now.
No, I'm here. I couldn't help myself. And I feel like the audience would appreciate the fact that I'm about to come up with our intro jingle right now on the spot. Here we go. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Let me get a beat. Give me the beat then, Dan. Come on,
That's good. I guess I'll add some bass to this beat.
Please do.
In post.
Yeah. Welcome to the VR. Oh, no, wait, that's Kent by. Welcome to the voice. No, wrong podcast. Good start. This is what I'm here for, right? Okay, this is the actual jingle.
Okay.
Welcome to the VR Side Chat with Alex and Dan. Do you like how I'll put myself first as well?
Are you regretting this immediately? This was a horrible, horrible mistake.
It was. I mean, to be fair, I'm jacked up on 2 cups of tea. I'm ready for this.
Oh, that'll do it then.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Right, anyway, thank you for having me.
No more tea before an episode for you. thank you for having me. You're going to be here like every week.
That's true.
Strap in.
I'll get comfy.
Yeah, anyway, so we did come up with some type, like, kind of format for this, didn't we? Where
you wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know by listening. We'd talk about, you know, what we'd seen that week, what we'd been up to that week, and then sort of talk about a specific topic. So I will start with you, Alex Rule. What have you watched this week?
What have I? Well, do you know what? This is a nice segue into our main topic, actually, because the thing that I watched this week,
I'm not going to get a go.
No, absolutely. I hope you know that by inviting
something, you're not going to get a go.
We'll come back to you. Listen. This is very quickly going to become the Alex Rule show if we're not careful. No, but
yes, 7 minutes in.
But I feel like the bulk topic should probably come first because that's the bit that people are actually interested in. And then they're we don't give a crap about like what you've been up to. Yeah. So we save that for last. Let's go in with the bulk topic, which does tie into what I did this week, because I watched OC5 live in Oculus venues in a headset, which was, let me tell you, it was a whole kind of experience. So I don't know whether you caught. Did you watch any OC5?
I've just caught like highlights and stuff on YouTube.
Nice.
That's regular YouTube.
Nice.
Not VR YouTube.
Well, YouTube VR hasn't officially launched on Oculus Go yet, so. But that was one of the announcements, which is kind of exciting. Although I'm still a bit perplexed as to why it launched on Gear VR the other month, but it didn't come to Go. Do you think they were holding out literally so they could announce that at OC5?
I mean, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised.
No, you go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got to really learn. I'm wondering whether there's a slight delay because I keep going to interrupt you.
I didn't realize that the YouTube one had launched on Gear VR until the other day, and I only tested it out today, and it's not bad.
You see, I was like quite excited about that because that's like one of my biggest pet peeves at the moment about the whole conversation around getting people into headsets and kind of those friction points and how on earth do you get like the average kind of person to want to watch 360 in a headset? Well, when they're mostly discovering 360 through YouTube and that whole process of going from YouTube into, you know, a standalone, whether that be a Gear, whether that be Oculus Go. At the moment, that process is so annoyingly difficult for no reason. And obviously you can have a cardboard experience pretty simply, but But it always kind of annoyed me that I really wanted to watch a bit more of what was going on YouTube. But I just refused to. Well, to be fair, I haven't done it for a long time. But the last time I tried to do it through like the browser and stuff on Gear, it was a nightmare because it like shows up as like an equirectangular that then you have to go into the settings and you have to tell it that you want to see it in 360. And like, I thought the fact I'm watching it in a VR headset would kind of give away the fact that I want to watch it in 360.
Yeah, it's a lot of faff. But the app is actually pretty good. So like I watched a couple of things on it. The first one, and you'll like this, right? Are you ready? Sitting down.
I'm ready. I'm strapped in.
This is very educational. I watched The Joy of Frogs.
That's pretty cool.
Not because I looked down for it, it just popped up and I was like, that's it.
We all know that's been bookmarked for ages.
I was like, oh, I've been wanting to watch it for ages.
Like a Netflix release, like Countdown to The Joy of Frogs.
Yeah. But you know what? It was pretty good. It was quite interesting because basically it was about like
frogs
mating, funnily enough.
hang on, wait.
Yeah,
you watch frog porn on YouTube.
It pretty much was that. I was like some sort of bystanding voyeur.
Incredible. I want to hear more about this.
Right, okay. So at first you kind of like stood in this pond amongst like all this frog spawn, and all these like male frogs come along, and like apparently the deeper the croak, the deeper the frog, the bigger the frog even. And basically they croak, and then like female frogs come along, and then they're like, well, hey.
So the female frogs are attracted to the croak.
To the croak, yeah.
Interesting.
But then what I didn't realise is that what they do, it's not like, I don't know, it's not like a mating thing as you would think it is. It's basically like the male just then grabs onto the female's back and just clings on until she releases eggs. And then,
what?
Yeah. And then the narrator was like, he could be on there for days. And you're like, that's exhausting, surely. Like, why would you bother?
I love that that's your thought. Not like the fact that you're like just casually in a VR headset, probably at the scale of a frog, like listening to this like David Attenborough style like voiceover, like pretty much up close and personal watching this situation happen. You're like, I mean, that's really beautiful. The fact that you're like,
is that that's a lot of effort. And not only that, but she's still sort of swimming about or trying to swim about while he's on her back, and you think she's going to drown. you know, at some point she's going to need to come up for air, and she's not going to be able to because he's weighing her down.
I mean, isn't that just like a metaphor for the patriarchy, my friends?
I don't know. It was just like
the
male frog just come across like a horny anchor.
Can that be the first bit of merch? Can we have that on a t-shirt?
That's the name of a pub. When I've got my millions and stuff and I buy a pub, I'm going to call it the horny
from
anchor.
The merch.
What they said was they basically wait for the female to release the eggs, and then they ejaculate onto the eggs.
I mean, can I just like stop and just zoom out to say that now I'm kind of interested in this idea of doing a what has Dan learned about nature podcast this week?
Coming soon.
Because, I mean, this is fascinating. Absolutely. Carry on. Sorry. Right.
Is it what the frog thing or what I think of the frog? I mean,
everything. And also I want to hear more about like how this was filmed. Like, was this like a linear 360? Like, what was the, are you kind of, you're up close and personal with these frogs?
Yeah.
Like, how do you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because at one point the narrator goes, if you look underneath you, like that. And I'm thinking, Jesus, what's underneath
you? You'll see the male frog ejaculate. You're like, okay, I'm questioning my life choices. Yeah.
I knew I should have watched something else.
It feels, I don't know why, but it feels okay when you're watching it on like Planet Earth or like,
yeah,
you know, like a documentary where there's, you know, there's kind of like a coffee table between you and this happening on the TV. I don't know how I feel about doing it in the headset. I'm kind of tempted to go away and do it.
That actually kind of entered my head a little bit while I was in there, because I was thinking like,
and what did you?
I just felt that I probably would have been a bit more comfortable just watching it in 2D. Because there's a bit of, if you see like all the fusses going about underneath you, like all there's a bit of, you know, splashing about going on. You look around, you're like, oh, what's going on there? There's a bit of a fight. And basically, there's these two frogs that I think were like either side of the female fighting over her. And you think,
wow,
God, she had problems with just one of them, like on her back.
I mean, now
she's
again,
got two of them clinging on. They're fighting it out.
Such a metaphor.
And I'm thinking, this is bad for her, because what if she gets hit? And also, she's got a stomach full of eggs. You know, that can't be good for the eggs, neither. But then the guy's like, oh, but this is the female thinks this is a good thing, because that two males are fighting over her, because the one that would win will provide better babies, you know?
I mean, and that is just like, that's the animal kingdom for you in a nutshell.
Is it though?
That's
because what if the weaker frog gets a lucky punch? The bigger frogs.
How much you see? Like, what's the ratio of luck and kind of actual talent in this fight going on? But I just want to kind of acknowledge that the creator of this 360 documentary should be very proud, because they're clearly stimulating seriously interesting thoughts, and you know, it's very clearly a very intellectually stimulating 360 doc that you've watched here.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it. But I just think that
it sounds like it.
I mean, it was cool, like sort of being up, you know, that close. But I don't know. I just thought it was going to be, you know, like when you see other animals mate, and you know, it's like the male jumps on her back, and you're like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's par for the course, I think, from the stuff I've seen.
Do you feel that? Listeners are going to be kind of
not listening.
What's the word? Well, yeah, probably not. I don't think we need to worry about that. I feel like usually there's meant to be like one host that jumps in and like stops the other one when we go on tangents. But the problem is, I am an enabler of tangents, and we both love tangenting. So that's going to happen a lot in this podcast from here on out.
Technically, this wasn't a tangent, because I am talking about a 360 experience.
So true. I mean, I can't quite remember where this conversation started and how we got onto the subject of mating frogs and how uncomfortable it is.
I appreciate it nonetheless.
I should open a notepad. Yeah, okay. I'm new to this whole podcast thing. So
I like the way you clicked a pen. Not just in the way that you clicked a pen, but it's just like to make it, I don't know, sound more official. Like, I've got a notepad here.
I mean, that's I do constantly always have a notebook within arm's reach. It's the old fashioned in me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't use a notepad. I like write notes in a notepad, and then I instantly have to write them in my notepad on my phone to actually remember them and have them with me at all times. But anyway, to come back to it, I think we were talking about YouTube VR. But before we get back to YouTube VR, listeners just went, for God's sake. Yeah. on the note of that kind of interesting dilemma between when you're watching something in VR, especially like a documentary or something like that, it's a bit uncomfortable because generalizing here, but usually they're the ones that provoke that kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. I do sometimes catch myself thinking, would I have preferred to watch this in 2D, and also would I have had the same kind of reaction to it? Because similar to you, but not in the animal kingdom, I watched something that was so basically at the Encounters Film Festival mm-hmm. last year when Key to Like, my film, premiered. It was part of this strand, and it was all about intimate kind of connection. And so we played in a strand with two other films that were about kind of connection and love and loss and that kind of thing. And one of them is called Second Date. And it's basically a bit like a fly on the wall docudrama about a couple's second date. But it very quickly, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it's very artistic and it's very tasteful, but it does kind of slip into becoming kind of softcore porn. And you're watching this experience in a room full of people having just watched my film, which is, it's, you know, very tame, very, like, you know, it's very dialogue heavy. It's, there's a lot to read between the lines rather than actually seeing anything. Yeah. Whereas this experience was very, like, full on. And it was interesting because when I walked out, because I'd watched, I was at the film festival with my director of Key to Like. So we both came out and I was like, that was super interesting because I felt equally uncomfortable and intrigued by how other people felt about watching that in a group, because it felt like the kind of thing where if you were at home, you would maybe have been a bit like, you know, oh, it's fine. You know, I'm kind of like, I can totally relax, I can watch this in, you know, in the privacy, knowing that, like, no one else knows I'm watching this, and I can have a really kind of authentic reaction to it. And what I thought was interesting was, because I was watching it in a group and I knew that other people were watching it at the same time, there was a part of me that really wanted to take my headset off to look where other people were looking, because obviously in 360, you've got this choice, right? You've got this choice. You can look away if you want. So if I'd taken off my headset, I would have seen whether people were looking at the couple, you know, hardcore making out and kind of, you know, a bit of heavy petting going on the bed versus looking around at the kind of beautiful flat that they were actually in. I think they were actually, it was like a houseboat. But then the other thing that I thought was, what's interesting about this experience and the fact that I can't gauge what other people are reacting to is the fact that I am now questioning my genuine kind of immediate response to it. Because I think, like, you know, when you watch something in the cinema, you are subconsciously you're subconsciously picking up on other people's energy, other people's reactions. You can hear people laughing. You can kind of see out the peripheral vision, people smiling or not, you know, you can kind of, you're gauging other people's reaction. There's definitely like a vibe, a general vibe. I don't know. Have you ever been to the cinema where you've watched a film that it ends there? Like, you're like, no, I haven't actually. I'm like, okay, this podcast is over. Have you ever been to a cinema where you're watching a film that is like a comedy and you want to laugh, but no one else in the audience is laughing, and so you feel really uncomfortable about it and it kind of kills the vibe a little bit? You're like, I don't watch comedy. I only watch high art cinema. Like, thank you.
I've been in that situation, but if I find something funny, I'm gonna.
You've laughed anyway. Yeah,
I'm gonna laugh. Like when I saw the Lego Movie at a cinema, and I was the only one laughing.
Genius.
And there was and the funny thing about it is that the other people.
What's wrong with you people?
I'm the one laughing.
We're cute. Well, to be fair, films like that, they're so brilliant because they do have like so many jokes in them that are clearly for adults. Like, you look back at kids' films and you're like, the adult humor is so intense in these films. Like, you wouldn't, you know, you can enjoy it as a kid, but you can also enjoy it as an adult because of how much like innuendo there are in a lot of those films.
I know what you mean, though.
But anyway, coming back to that idea though, I was like, what's interesting is I'm having this experience of like, I'm kind of uncomfortable, but I'm kind of intrigued, but I'm kind of having to formulate my own opinion about this film. I can't, you know, there's no peer influence because I have no idea what anyone else is feeling right now or how they're reacting to it. Are they, 'cause I found myself naturally like, almost childishly like smiling to myself, because I couldn't help but think like, I'm watching softcore porn in like the middle of the day with like 20 yeah. strangers. Like, I should stop referring to it as softcore porn. It's like, you don't see anything. Yeah, to be clear, they have their clothes on, but like, the girl does orgasm in it. So, I mean, wow. Take what you will from that. Everyone just like goes away and watches it yeah. immediately. Everyone's
put the podcast on hold.
Yeah. Yeah. And they join us and they're like, oh, yeah. They're like, I can't empathize because I did just watch that by myself in my pants. But yeah, but anyway, coming back to that, I did think like, you know, that would have been a very, very different experience watching that on a flat screen in a group setting. And that in itself is quite interesting because I'm not one of these people that thinks, oh, you know, there needs to be this like huge reason why you're doing it in VR. I think if someone's going to have a different reaction to it, if it's shown in 360 versus 2D, then that is as good a reason to justify doing it in 360. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. And again, coming back off the tangent maybe slightly, OC5. That's where the call started.
Nice segue. And
it was a terrible clunky segue, but I will get better at them. Yeah, what did you think of the OC5 announcements?
I liked it. I'm excited about the Quest.
Me too.
Because, and I think it's purely because that I haven't like experienced like sort of VR in the Rift or the Vive or anything like that yet. Because
interesting. As in, like, never.
No, never.
Oh wow! Okay,
I've never had access to one, which is, you know, like devastating.
So have you ever been to like a VR arcade or anything?
Not recently, not in like in the iteration of VR as it is now, but I did like years and years ago when it was like old school.
OG.
Old school graphics.
Nice.
I was like waving a like virtual sword around.
I mean, that's pretty cool. Did some of the best VR experiences.
That was the whole game. You just stand in an empty room.
What, just waving just a sword around.
But yeah,
get
so
into that.
I don't know. And again, it's because obviously, you know, as well as the headsets and everything being pricey, you also need a powerful PC to run it all on.
Oh, so, absolutely. Well, that's the thing. I don't own a Rift or a Vive. I'm lucky enough to have access to one because the co-working space that I work in has the Vive. Nice. And also because I go to quite a few events, like I've demoed. Mm-hmm. Like I've you know been lucky enough to have demoed quite a bit in the Rift and the Vive, but yeah, like for 360, especially when you're like, you know, when you're a 360 creator, there is no need really. I mean, the thing that always strikes me is the only thing that tempts me to get one for myself is the fact that you can see what you're editing in headset. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, as in like, so you could be like editing VR in Premiere in a headset with like, I think it's with Mac, I think it's the Vive that works, but obviously on PC, use the Rift. That's the only real thing that I'm like, you know what? It'd be really nice if I didn't have to like export every time to like see this in a headset. But obviously not worth the $2,000 plus price tag that would come with. But anyway, back to you and the Quest.
I think that I'm definitely gonna get one of those. Try out some of the games and stuff like that.
I mean, the whole thing that it can track a room bigger than, was it like an arena? They said like,
yeah, I think
that's crazy.
There's one game like Dead and Buried, which is, and also I think it can also like assess the like area that you're in. So I don't know, say there's like, I don't know, a sofa in the front of the room, it will create that as like an object that you can like get behind or whatever in the game.
Oh, that is so cool. Yes.
I saw someone else talking about it and they were playing like a demo of a tennis game. And they said, because there's no sensors at the back, if you put your hand out of the frame of the sensors, it won't know where your hand is. So something like a tennis.
Oh, right. So if you're, if you're serving like a backhand. Yeah.
So it can be a bit clunky in that way. But I don't know. Maybe that's something they may tweak before that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because how unless they had a sensors or a sensor in the back, how are they going to combat for that? That's interesting. But I think the whole notion of, I don't know, it's kind of like, do you remember when you were a kid and you would like run around the house pretending the floor was made of lava and things like that? Like that's kind of, this headset is, you could literally make that game now. Just, you know what I mean? Have objects in the room. It's so cool. It's like, oh, I'm so jealous of the kids' generation growing up now where that's going to be like their playground.
It is. But then at the same time, it'd be quite scary. I think, because I don't, because you got to bear in mind that I'm getting on a bit now, and I don't want it to get to this point where it's like so realistic, and then my mind starts to go a little bit, and then I actually genuinely believe this stuff is real.
And I'm running
down the streets with a headset on, going.
I'm a bit of a psycho because I'm really excited for that future. I think that would be so cool. Like, you know what England, I mean, I know you're living up in beautiful Asia at the moment, but you know what England's like, it can get a bit drab. And if like there was a future where I could be in the real world, but have the real world be like Maui in Hawaii.
That would be good. If you could just like make yourself a cocktail.
A cup of tea.
Or a cup of tea. Get a bottle of like suntan lotion and just pop the lid open. pop it next to you. Stick your headset on.
Yeah.
On the beach.
That's it.
And the suntan lotion smell coconut, obviously. That would be the selling point there. That'll be next. They'll have
sensory.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, because it doesn't surprise me that the smell is one of the most powerful senses anyway, because I think even just you saying that, I can almost conjure up that feeling when you do smell suntan lotion, it automatically transports you on, like the smell of Piz Buin suntan lotion will always remind me of Greece, because I always used to go on family holidays to Greece, and that would be the suntan lotion that my mum would use and like would use on us. And so I've always associated that smell with like family holidays in Greece. And
I remember I remember like years ago, one of the travel agents chains, they used to have that smell in their stores. Like in the branches, like
genius.
Just like suntan lotion.
Genius.
So you walk in, and as soon as you walk in, you're like, oh, I'm on holiday.
Yes. You are like literally transported back there. That's yes. Crazy. Oh my God, that is genius marketing.
So, sorry, go on.
No, that was it really. I can't remember where this is
going. Not bad.
back to I'm gonna have to like my memory capacity is gonna have to expand a bit doing this podcast now. But I like it. I like that it's forcing that. So you were saying
from OC5.
So I love the announcement of the Quest, because finally, that to me, similar to what you were saying, I don't want to have to buy the big PC that goes along with it, because I'm not really a gamer, even though I am interested and I do really like playing the VR games that are available, but I'm not like a hardcore gamer. So I'm excited to have a headset that is going to be affordable to have some of those experiences and have a six-doff experience without having to buy a PC. I am really interested by the fact that there is this big push into 6 degrees of freedom and what that means for 360 creators. Like, so the big announcement that I guess affects the 360 community was the announcement of the Red and Facebook manifold camera, which, you know, essentially going to be the first, well, you know, one of the first, probably the first Hollywood kind of high, really, really high-end 360 production camera. I mean, obviously you've got the jump cameras by Google, but this, you know, I mean, red sensors in a 360 camera, that's pretty huge. And so I think I was really kind of pleased by that announcement, because one thing that I was kind of like, oh, about was the fact that there wasn't, you know, OC5 is always going to be about the tech and therefore is always going to lean more towards the gaming side of things and utility. But obviously there wasn't much in the way of, I guess, storytelling outside of gaming. So, you know, 360 content being obviously, I think, still the biggest gateway into VR for a lot of people. And so the fact that they didn't really announce much for the Go or in the realm of 360 outside of the fact that they've released YouTube VR on the Go. And from what I can remember, I think that was pretty much it in terms of the update to the Go. So the announcement of that camera was really exciting, because it's like, oh, wow. Okay, no, there still is this big push to get this. But obviously that camera is kind of being advertised as having like 6 DOF as part of the workflow. So that's interesting to me, because I'm like, well, okay, so that's where Facebook is pushing this medium. This is where the workflow is going, which makes sense, really. But I'm interested to see what that means for the 360 community and what kind of productions are going to come out of the fact that they've got this essentially Hollywood ready camera now. Like, it does this mean that, you know, the likes of Spielberg and Martin Scorsese are now going to be like, oh, okay, now there is something that is adequate for me to tell my stories, you know, that I'm going to do this now. I don't know. That's my general kind of.
I think if anyone would jump over this, I think it'd be like someone like James Cameron.
Yeah.
Is going into the tech side of things and wait until that tech's available.
True. Yeah, I wonder whether
he'd probably do something like, I don't know, when he goes down and looks at the Titanic wreck again or something.
Yeah, well, I wonder whether he would do, because obviously Avatar, I can't remember when Avatar comes out, but he's obviously working on that, and that was one of the big ones that kind of rejuvenated the 3D, the interest in 3D cinema. So I wonder whether he will be doing something with VR for, like, I mean, I would assume so, but
I would have thought so.
Whether or not that's, again, though, I wonder, because obviously that's CG, so I wonder whether that'll be more true, like a game engine style VR experience. But, you know, in terms of the Red camera, I think it's really great, and it's going to attract a lot more kind of high end talent and bigger budgets, I would imagine, because I mean, I hate to guess how much data that thing is going to generate per minute. Oh, yeah. but at the same time,
you're definitely going to need that high-powered PC for that.
I mean, you might need like at least 1 or 10 million graphics card to power that thing. It's a bit like volumetric capture. Like, I had a tour of the Microsoft volumetric studio in London the other week, and I'm gonna forget the exact amount of data, but there is something like, is it like 1 terabyte per minute or per second, or it was something absurd, basically an absurd amount of data generated. But then the good thing about their whole system is it kind of, they can crunch it down to like 100 megabytes by the time you finish, which is great. But obviously, you know, you have to use their ridiculously high-end facilities to do that.
One day. did they give a release date for the manifold? I never saw anything about it.
No, I don't think so. I think it just said coming soon.
Oh, teeth.
Have you seen how big it is, though?
No, I couldn't really grasp it from there. I've only seen the images, but no one sort of standing next to it to actually grasp the size. I remember just saying it looked like football.
Oh, wow. It's like probably at least five times the size of a football. I would say it's probably the size of a beach ball.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the inflatable ones. I think it's like, I mean, obviously I'm, I've, I'm not there, so I don't know. But if you look at photos on Instagram or on the Facebook groups, there's a great one on the 360 VR Professionals Facebook group of someone like putting a banana next to it. Insta 360 Pro next to it, I think, as well. And the thing is huge, huge. Like, it's like, I mean... I'm so intrigued to see how you're going to, you know, what kind of tripods, what kind of mounts you're going to need for that thing on set. But, you know.
I like that someone thought, right, we're going to need to sort of show people the scale of this. And just thought, I know what, banana.
Yeah.
Like, could be anything.
Shout out, just shout out to hand, that person.
Put your hand next to it, mate. Yeah. Put your hand next to it. That's all right, mate. Put your hand down. I've got a banana.
I appreciated it just because it does kind of look like he's like holding up a banana phone to the camera, like, "Hello, James Cameron. I'm ready for you. I'm ready for my close-up." Yeah.
Hello, manifold camera. Cameron on the phone.
Yeah. I'm ready now. What's your opinion on like 6 degrees of freedom and 360 filmmaking and how? How that's kind of going to affect
I think the 6 degrees of freedom would be awesome. You just get just add that extra, bit of immersiveness to it. Mm-hmm. I'd be all over that if, but obviously that's going to be out of my budget when it comes out.
Well, it's interesting because
you've been in touch with Red.
So I am the creator of the manifold camera.
Oh, wow. No. This is insane.
Plot twist. I am the owner of Red Cameras. No need for the merch.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to fund the Horny Anchor pub all myself. Yes. I've just finished this accelerator program. With some really interesting companies that are working in the VR and AR space. And one of the companies that was on the accelerator with me, I'm working with them because they have they're like this bunch of geniuses, essentially. That's all I can say. They're magicians and geniuses, and there is no other explanation for it because they have developed this incredible, I think it's machine learning, or it could be an AI. I'm not sure. It's one of those fancy things that takes existing 360 films and makes them 6DOF. So they were demoing, like, it was really funny because we had this big investment pitch day on Thursday, and I had kind of my little kind of demo area right next to theirs, but they had my film Key to Like in 6DOF next to me. So I was like, you don't want to look at my stuff, like, go look at their stuff, like, honestly, it'll blow your mind. It's so cool. And so I'm like, that's interesting, because the biggest thing that I fear about 6DOF is that it will kind of it will alienate the more kind of, the indie artists and the people with no budgets and the people that don't have the kind of the PCs power enough to generate that, or don't have, budgets essentially to make stuff. But actually what I think their technology will do is kind of keep the 360 community and kind of landscape democratized, because now anyone can essentially take their 360 films and make it work in a 6 degrees of freedom headset, which I think is going to be huge. I mean, the thing is, though, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, imagine that, because obviously Key to Like, my film, is very static, so it makes sense that you can walk around it. But imagine if you put like a 360 drone shot in 6 degrees of freedom. So it's like, imagine that you're like flying through the air, but then you can also walk around the air whilst you're flying. That would be such a mind fuck.
That would be mental. Or like walking around the frogs as they're all,
imagine getting up close and personal,
just be wading around the pond.
I like that this, like, the frog documentary has really resonated with you. Like, I feel like
I shared something with them. Well, they shared more than I did, but
they shared a little too much.
yeah.
But that is super interesting. Like, how, and actually, that kind of does tie into that conversation that we just had with, depending on how intrigued and how comfortable you felt with that content, would kind of allow you to get as up close and personal with it as you want, right? It would that whole thing of, because I think one of the big things you have to consider in 360 at the moment is like, how much personal space am I going to give someone if you're expecting someone to view this in a headset? How much, you know, do I want someone to get really close and make someone feel really, really uncomfortable, or do I want them to be quite far away and give them that kind of that distance and that feeling of space and voyeurism? And actually, what 6 degrees of freedom will do is it will change again. Obviously, we've not even developed the storytelling language as it is, but what it will do is it will change that again, because it will change the way that you choreograph scenes. It will change the way that you have to kind of think about not only someone watching this on desktop versus headset, but then you'll now have to think of this as, you know, someone being able to walk up to these characters, yeah, or, you know, the subject in the 360 film. So again, that's going to be a really interesting point that creators have to consider when going into making a film like that.
Do you know what I think this could be prime for? Someone mentioned this on my Facebook feed the other day and I was like, that's actually a genius idea.
Go on, and we will steal it.
Yeah, well, this is what I was about to say. Yeah, and I'm taking that for myself. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a show that I used to watch when growing up called Nightmare, and it was
I don't know it.
Google it after this. Nightmare, but with a K. Okay.
Let me write a little note. Right.
And
Nightmare with a K.
Yeah, but it was like. I want to say it's like, it wasn't a game show as such, but it was kind of like, I don't know, almost like a sort of virtual Crystal Maze type thing, but set in a castle.
Ooh.
And then there was like a team, and they were like kids. Obviously, cause it was a kid show. But one of them would go in, and they'd have to like put his helmet on so they couldn't see. But then, from what I remember anyway, but then they would be sort of guided around by the others to walk around this thing, and then there'd be like different people, or like, I don't know, talking statues or whatever in this room.
Right.
And I haven't seen it for ages, so it's kind of difficult to try and remember it and stuff. But I remember like thinking when this person mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, that would be amazing in VR. So actually.
So it's almost like like an escape room type thing.
Kind of, yeah. Because that's the thing. It's like watching it, it felt, and because the kid in there had this helmet, it kind of felt like it was this weird sort of, you know, virtual reality world that he was in. And I kind of think that any kids that applied to be on that show kind of thought that that's what they were, you know, walking into, or like, you know, trying to go up for, that they were going to be like put in this virtual world, when obviously, you know, reality, some poor kid just got like, you know, a helmet put on his head so he couldn't see.
I mean, same thing, right? Same diff.
That sort of thing would be
a cool use case for it.
But yeah, Google it afterwards, and then I'll show clips of it and stuff on YouTube, regular YouTube.
I'm gonna have such bizarre search history after this. Frog 360 frog porn. Nightmare helmet boy.
You added helmet boy, not me.
Okay. Wait, that's not a slur, is it? I'm not going to get myself into trouble.
there's some like, you know.
Oh, God.
Going to come out of the woodwork now. It's just like, hey, that was me.
No, I definitely will. I think that's the thing. I think as much as I love 360 and I love the community around it, and I love film and entertainment and how we're translating that all into VR, I do think there is, you know, this is so much bigger than that. This is, I mean, essentially, I feel like VR is essentially the medium to end all mediums. It is, I don't know, the opening keynote for OC5, not Mark, but the guy who came on after him, the VP of AR and VR for, I think, Oculus, or it might be all of Facebook, was saying about, you know, he's kind of talking about their vision for it and being this thing to connect, right? So like throughout the entirety of human history, all we've done is strive to connect, whether that be inventing horse and carriage to get to each other quicker, whether that be to invent the telephone to be able to, you know, to communicate, or you know, even before that, writing letters and the postal service and that kind of thing. Our whole goal as a human species is to kind of connect with each other. And so I think I almost feel like the internet is like the kind of the beginnings of realizing that dream almost, you know. It's kind of when VR is as good as, you know, Ready Player One style, where we can be in the same room doing the same thing at the same time and truly believe that it's real. It will feel as real as the real world, which might be scary, but it might also be really exciting. It depends who's in control of it, I guess. It depends on, you know, what you know, because with every with great power comes great responsibility. So, you know, if Facebook are in control of that world, it'll be interesting to see how it's governed. But ultimately, that is the ultimate way for human beings to connect. And also, it's like this amazing, for all the bad that can come with it, think of all the good. Imagine if you're like living in a developing country, and you'll never have the experience of, you know, living in a Western world and having certain experiences, just like we could never fully really know what it's like to live in another culture. And that's going to remove all that. That's going to be so interesting. We're going to have to redefine almost like the way the world works in that sense, because theoretically everyone will have this kind of even playing ground. And that is so cool. Like, that's so exciting. And that's the thing that, again, worries me a little bit, though, because again, if Facebook or Google become, you know, they are essentially the authors of this world that we like, you know, the real Oasis, if you will, which is a Ready Player One reference to anyone that hasn't read or watched the movie. Whoever owns that world is going to have a lot to answer for, and they're going to essentially control the way that we redefine the social structure, which is getting a bit high level. I realize that, so I'm going to come back down to earth in a second. But, you know, how do you define class if everyone all has the same access to avatars? And it's a bit like, it's like Habbo Hotel, but to the extreme. Like, that was a right tangent. I enjoyed
That's
it.
All right. I mean, it sounded like you enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy it, listeners? And did you enjoy it, Dan? Well, that is the question.
I enjoyed it, but then I enjoy any tangent.
Fabulous.
I'm on board with any tangent that comes my way.
Yeah. Bobby, what are your kind of like parting thoughts about OC5?
I mean, again, like I say, it was the Quest thing. Because not only that, I'm like also just desperate for a headset that's not reliant on my phone. Because
do you not have like any of the standalones?
No, not as yet. And because I'm in Asia and stuff, they don't have any of that. They have like the not standalones, but they have like the crappy phone ones and stuff. But the thing is that the worst thing about it is that because it's so hot, like it doesn't last very long. I get it for about like 10 minutes of content.
And
then the phone's like, yeah, you need to stop this now, otherwise I'm going to explode.
That's not what we want.
It's like, especially not near my face.
Well, that is, but that in itself is quite interesting if you think about it. I mean, I don't think, if I didn't have to do it for work, I don't think I would even have like the Go, or I'm about to get the Lenovo as well. But I get them because, you know, for the B2B side of things, because I create a lot of 360 content for enterprise. Obviously, they're constantly looking for the latest tech and the latest and the cheapest also. So I feel this pressure to have to know those kind of things inside out. But I don't think I would have. I'm trying to think if I, you know, if I didn't need it for work, would I have invested in a Go over a Gear? Because really, what, apart from the fact that obviously it doesn't require the phone to power it, like what more is it giving? I mean, to be fair, I do quite like the spatial audio and the straps. That is, it's pretty dope. But other than that, it doesn't, there isn't such a huge difference between the two to, you know, to make you want to go out and spend £200.
Mm. No, it's true. I don't know. I think I would rather that though.
You would rather.
I think I'm just purely going on the basis that I just can't get through much before my phone's like, unless I'm like the Arctic Circle, then I might be all right.
Did you know that apparently one of Google's biggest server storage places is in like, I don't know whether it's in the Arctic or the Antarctic, but it's like, it's in like one of those really, because obviously it's just like a load of computers that need to be constantly kept at really, really cold temperatures. Apparently that's where one of their biggest server farms is. I found that fascinating.
I'm not surprised, to be honest. I think it kind of needs it just to cool it down.
Do you want to know how I found that out and what conversation led to that?
You know what? I was glad that you brought that up.
In fact,
I really did.
I feel like we might have already had this conversation, and I was like, this is something that I should not be saying on the podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway. This conversation.
You've already done a little song and dance at the beginning. I mean.
Oh, it can get worse. It can get worse, trust me. So. All
right. Okay, go for it.
This conversation came about because, you know, the end of Fight Club?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's like this coordinated attack on the credit card towers to like eliminate debt, basically.
Yeah.
So I was basically saying, and I've had this conversation with a few people, including you.
I was going to say, I remember this.
You know where this is going. I was like, theoretically, could someone blow up the internet? Like, theoretically, could someone like destroy and kind of eliminate any trace of the internet? And I had this conversation originally with my brother, who is who's a developer, so he kind of he's into, I think we got to that conversation because we were talking about our product and how it's using like this really interesting like serverless technology, which I have no idea. I leave that stuff to him. But he was explaining it to me, and I was like, so he's like, yeah, it's serverless, but it's not truly serverless, right? Because it's still on servers, but it's just like, it's not on a server until you need it to be on a server. I was like, okay. And then we got into this conversation about servers, and he got onto this, you know, he was the one who told me that about the fact about Google server, one of them being in the Antarctica or somewhere like that. And then I was like, so theoretically, if someone wanted to like kill the internet, they would have to do like this coordinated terrorist attack on like all the different servers around the world at the same time. And he was like, yeah, theoretically. And I was like, interesting. And he was like, is there a reason you're asking that? And I was like, no, I was just intrigued. And also that's just insight into where my brain goes. So more of a comment on my dark humor, really.
And the funny thing about this is that if anything, if anything was to happen to the internet, this would have been recorded, but it wouldn't matter because this would have been hosted on the internet.
They'll never know.
I'd have the only copy left. And then I'd be like, Alex,
yeah,
how much is my secrecy worth?
I'd be like, listen, I will buy you an aquarium full of frogs for you to watch mate. I will buy you a horny anchor pub.
Like, I'd be like, how about an Oculus Quest?
Cheap. I like it. And then I can't even, it doesn't
and
work.
I can't even access anything. I'd be like, oh, fuck.
I didn't think this through. I didn't think this through. Exactly.
There we go. Is it still too late to get that pub? it's useless.
But imagine though, like bringing the terrorist attack into this hypothetical virtual reality future. I mean, that's Ready Player One, the sequel, right? Is like, you know, at the end they're like, oh, but sometimes reality is better than virtual reality. Imagine if like the sequel is them trying to coordinate attack to kill the Oasis so that everyone has to live in the real world again.
Sorry, I just had this thought go around. It's making me chuckle. But I was picturing like the final scene of Fight Club. But like you're standing there looking out the window and the pixie's playing. And it's like there's no explosion or anything in the background because it's just the internet. So it's just complete calm outside all the windows. You're just standing there like, yeah.
It's like you're Tyler Durden in this scene. I'm Helena Bonham Carter. We're watching as and then all of a sudden people just surface out of their stacks and houses, like removing their headsets, like you know, like classic style, like putting their hand over their face, like, oh, I haven't seen the sun in a decade.
full beards.
even women.
Even the women.
Caveman style. It would be so good. I mean, I love it. Who did that film? Which filmmaker made it? I know the book was written by. Yeah, who directed that film?
Fincher,
yeah. So Fincher, if you're listening, I think this is the next Chuck. How do you pronounce it? Chuck Palahniuk? Chuck Palahniuk?
Something like that. I'm going to let you attempt the pronunciations. I'm not going to even get involved.
I'll take that. Chuck and Fincher, if you're listening, listeners. If you know David Fincher or Chuck Palahniuk, then let's hook it up. Let's make it happen. Let's group source this film. I think
I
it'll
like
be
how you use Chuck's first name, but David Fincher's last name. I suppose it's just Chuck and David.
Yo, Fincher.
All Chuck right. And Dave. Finchy to his friends.
Oi, Finchmeister.
He might be busy with Mindhunter at the moment, though. Is there a second season of Mindhunter? If there is, he's probably busy with that.
I mean, maybe, but I feel like this will lure him back in. Do you not think? Do you not think it's a good enough idea to lure him back in?
I think he. You know what? Now I'm thinking about it, I would like to see what Fincher could do with the medium.
Yeah. Oh, it would be dark.
Let's face it, he is a master of his art.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see what. But then would I want to be in it? Would I want to experience that?
I was about to say, what as in the film? In the VR film? Like you're just like, would I want to be in it though? Because I would have to be in it if he did it in VR. So but yeah, that's true. That's a bit like
Gone Frog.
Horror experience. Yeah, exactly. Well, basically, it's that whole conversation here. But also, it's like when people do horror experiences. Like, I don't like horror films, so I'm not the kind of person that would want to then be in a horror experience because you know I'm scared, basically. So I think it would be super interesting to be in like a film, like an experience by an artist like that, but it would be super insightful, I think, into the way that their mind works, you know, like being actually in the film.
There's one that Dark Corner released a little while back called they did, have you heard what was it, the most the biggest one they did was like Mule, where basically you're basically like a body. And again, a bit goes through all these like different scenarios and stuff like that. But it's pretty cool. But they
what managed, is it? Is it on Gear?
They have their own app. But yeah, they have an app on the Gear.
Dark Corner,
yeah. So their content is like you have to pay for their content. Although the one they released a little while back, Campfire Creepers, and that's on
Campfire Creepers. Yeah. What a great title!
Oh yeah, but it's like an old school sort of kind of it was like an 80s kind of throwback with just like kids around a campfire, like telling.
Proud of crap fire, you always said there.
Yeah, crap fire. I think there's like a series of them. But those were directed by the French guy Alexandre Aja. I hope that I pronounced that right. Although it's just AJA. I don't know how else you could pronounce it. Yeah.
Actually, it's. It's unusual. Yeah. You're like, oh, well, okay, my bad.
So I'm close. I was close. But yeah, like, and he did Switchblade Romance back in the day and Hills of Ivory.
Are you a cinephile by any chance?
I dabble. I have been known. To be honest.
I've been known to frequent an independent cinema now and then.
To be honest, that was my childhood was pretty much just watching films to the point where, you know, if my mum would ground me, it was like, I don't care because I'll just sit and watch
because films. I'm just going to watch these films. So that's actually a dream.
Joke's on you.
I think that's quite an interesting, not to throw you under the bus here, that's a generation thing because I feel like I'm more of a TV. Mm. I was like a TV kid because I feel like, not that I'm suggesting that, like, when you were a kid, there wasn't TV, because obviously there was, because Nightmare, as we've discussed. Yes. But I feel like it was more, like, the emphasis was more on TV shows and kind of the, you know, there was more TV than...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, films was a thing where, like, yeah, cool, you go out and you watch films at cinema occasionally, but there was so much good TV growing up when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm like it.
Yeah, because I don't know, like, TV-wise as a kid, the only things... that really sort of stood out for me. I mean, that was the time, like, when X-Files first came out. So that was, was a huge...
Loved a bit of X-Files.
And then there was my other one was Quantum Leap. Loved Quantum Leap.
Oh, I've never watched Quantum Leap, but I apparently make quite a few references. Because that's a sci-fi show, right? Yeah, it's quite relevant to all this that we're so talking good. About.
So good.
What's it about?
So it was... Right, okay.
Here we go. Strap in, listeners. So, we're going on another tangent.
Yeah. So it's about a guy called Sam Beckett, Dr. Sam Beckett, and he's from the future. But there's this thing called like a quantum leap accelerator, which can send you back in time. You don't go back as yourself. You go back in like someone else's body, basically.
Right.
So he gets in that, and then something goes wrong.
So it's like VR. He essentially is doing VR.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of,
but real world.
But each episode, he'd leap into someone else. And then basically, he can't move on until he's helped that person or someone close to that person out of whatever, you know, trouble or predicament or stuff they're in. But then there's another guy called Al who... visits him like in the form of a hologram to sort of help him out as well. And he has this little computer, which is basically like a pimped out calculator called Ziggy.
Nice. Ziggy the calculator. Yeah. Brilliant.
From my description, nobody will probably watch that if they haven't already.
You're selling it to me. You're selling it to me.
It was great.
They could totally redo that in VR now. Mm. That would be amazing. Actually, that is a brilliant idea for a VR series.
Yeah, exactly.
Where each episode you have to Yeah, like Soul, it'd be great, like interactive series, like almost like an escape room, but an episodic storytelling version of that, where each episode you embody something or someone in this like scenario, and there's a problem and you have to solve the problem before you can get on to the next
episode. And the cool thing about it as well, because in the series, obviously he never knew who he'd leaped into, because when he's sort of like looking down at himself and stuff, he can only see his own body and whatnot. But then whenever he looked in the mirror, that's when he can see who he is. So imagine doing that in VR. You've gone into this scenario. Yeah. You're like, okay, well, there's a mirror over there. Let's have a look what's going on. Oh, hello.
The thing is, though, I've tried doing that in several kind of 360 films. Like, you know, that idea of kind of having a shot where the camera is opposite a mirror and then you look in the mirror and it kind of reveals who you are as a character, especially because one of the series that I'm working on at the moment is this idea of can you hear that lawnmower outside?
No.
Oh, that's good. Just me. I'm like, just in rural England, just someone casually doing their mowing their lawn on a Saturday.
Is it Job?
Is it who?
Is it Job? That's a
Job. Sorry. What's Job?
Terrible.
Is what kind of reference is that? Is that some kind of?
I mean, if anyone listening that's still listening got that reference,
they're not listening.
Please let me know. Please let me know. So that wasn't just for my own benefit.
Is it Joe? Oh, that's gonna. What is? Is that a film reference? Is that TV? What is that?
It's a Lawnmower Man reference.
Hang on, a Lawnmower Man reference.
Oh my! Don't tell me you've never seen Lawnmower Man. Are you joking?
It's a
movie about virtual reality.
What?
Yeah.
No.
It's got Pierce Brosnan in it.
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, this was like mid 90s or early 90s, I think it was.
Oh, see, I was born in 1990, so did that just.
That's all right. That's no excuse. You can always show you like
still time. Lawnmower Man.
I don't remember it being a particularly great film, but I think at the time, from what I remember, it was like, because of the effects and stuff in it, were pretty, you know, up there.
I really want to. I've just googled it and it looks insane in the literal sense, so I'm absolutely gonna add that to my list.
It is. But yeah, I mean, I think it was Jeff Fahey who plays like the actual Lawnmower Man, but I'm sure I might have even got that reference wrong, but I'm pretty sure his name is Job.
Yeah, I love that. I love that reference.
Otherwise, completely balls that reference.
I feel like I'm going to learn, because I'm not, like, the reason I asked if you're a cinephile is because I'm absolutely not. I'm really bad with films. I'm very bad.
Sorry.
Was it? Proud of it. Let me give you a little clap. I'm sorry that I ruined it by not knowing the reference.
No, that's fine. As long as someone listening got it.
One person reaches out like, I'm with you, man.
I've given myself a pat on the back. Well done, Dan.
Good job. I feel like I'm very basic when it comes to my media. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love a wide variety of series, like shows. Again, very TV-centric me. But when it comes to films, I'm lacking in knowledge. So I feel like I'm going to learn quite a lot from this podcast as well.
Just purely from references that get made, completely lost.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. You're going to make a reference and be like, you're going to be like, this was genius.
Give us a pat on the back. Yeah, good work.
Every time. It's going to be like such a lesson in patience for you.
I can't believe you've never heard of Lawnmower Man, though.
No, I'm surprised that hasn't come up. If it's because I've heard quite a bit of, you know, like books and media in general that refers to things that could be applicable to VR. I've heard quite a lot of people reference them in talks or in other podcasts and things like that. So I'm surprised that one's never come up. But I don't think I've either that or people have referenced it and I've just not realised they're referencing it because they didn't make a funny lawnmower joke.
It was never a particularly well-regarded film, but because it was like the only sort of VR-related film at the time. And that's when they had like the mega headsets. When it was just like a chunk of plastic just put on your head.
I mean, it's still kind of a chunk of plastic on your head.
This is true. But it's just like, yeah, at least they hollowed the plastic out a bit now.
Yeah, that's true. Although I did think when I was watching OC5, I was aware of the fact that it was hurting to have the gut, because I watched I didn't manage the whole keynote. I was like an hour and 10 minutes in or something.
That's an hour longer than I would have made it.
Yeah, I mean, it was still, I feel like it was still good effort. It was good effort, but I did have to kind of like, I was like holding the headset up by the end because it did, and the go is really light. So I was quite surprised by that, but it did hurt to have on my face. So I was like, we're still, you know, we're definitely still not there with the gear. But hey, that's, you know, it's all part of the roadmap, isn't it? It's all part of the roadmap. But speaking of OC5, just to, bring this maybe back, maybe rounding up, just I'm starving.
We're 15 in now as well.
Yeah, I mean, no one is listening at this point, but if they were, I'm sure they would appreciate a wrap up. So, obviously, we talked about the format being, you know, something of relevance to the VR and 360 world, and then what we've been up to and what we've watched. And we've kind of covered all of that. I mean, I don't know whether you have any parting thoughts on that, but we've inadvertently smashed it.
We have. I mean, I hope people listening agree.
I really hope so. I hope they're not like, Dan, go back to the interviews, man.
What have you done, mate? Yeah. Sorry, Dan.
But I want people to join in. I want people to join in the tangents. I want people to hit us up on all the socials and be like, you know, because one of the funnest things that I do, which is probably very annoying for people whose podcasts I listen to, is I will like stream of consciousness reply to them on social media as if I'm part of the conversation. So I've got a friend who I was on his, he runs a video production company, and he runs he has like this podcast that I was on the other week called The Day the Dog Came Into the Office. So check that out, people, if you want to hear me rambling about.
I listened to that the other day.
Oh, and how did you enjoy my anecdotes about homeless men?
I liked it. And also, because this is something that I always wanted to ask, but then forgot, but you answered it on that. And I was always wanted to ask where the Cats Not Peas name come from. And it was mentioned on there. I was like,
I'm still, you know what, that is the question I get asked the most, like regardless of who it is, whether it's like I'm doing a talk and someone comes up to me afterwards, whether it's I'm in a client meeting trying to pitch projects, regardless, that is, or if it's like just some random art on the street who sees me wearing the t-shirt that says Cats Are Not Peas, merch available soon. it's not. That is one thing that always comes up, and I still haven't, because the actual, I don't know whether you found this with the actual answer, but it's a fairly boring answer. Like, you feel like it's going to be this very interesting story, but it's really not, and I need to work on that.
I'm saying that it's different though.
People are like, are you going to tell us the story or not? I'm like, you'll have to find out next week. You'll
have to listen to the other podcast.
No, but just briefly though.
Just the beginning bit.
Just to summarize for people.
It takes a little while to get going.
Yeah, Cats and LPs, I like to think of it nowadays as like a bit of a, well, I like it as like a philosophical kind of debate. I feel like you can open a conversation with someone and go, Cats and LPs, like with the intonation of like a question mark at the end. And you will very easily gauge what kind of person someone is by their response. They're either going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Or they're going to be like, or are they? I mean, let's discuss that for a second. Cats are not peas. But I mean, theoretically in VR, they could be. Who's to say they're not? If we're all made of ancient stardust from the universe, then theoretically we're all made of the same crap. So theoretically cats are peas. And I've had some of these conversations before. So it's a nice conversation starter. But the truth of it is, it's actually the title of a science textbook. When I was at uni, I worked in a library, and it was like a title that stood out to me. And I was like, one day if I own a company, I'm going to call it that. And that is literally, that's where it comes from. So there you go. Interesting.
Okay.
What do you think,
Lizzie? I didn't know you was gonna bring up the book thing at the end, because you was going on this like massive cats could be peas thing.
But do you see what I mean? That'd
be nice to wrap it up on that.
That's so true. Maybe cats could be peas. That's what
I kind of thought that you called it that because I don't know, you may have encountered some sort of mental person that made the argument that cats were peas, and you sort of did that as a kind of fuck you.
Let's be real.
That's kind of what I was thinking. And then I listened to that podcast, he's like, yes, name a book.
Let's be real. If anyone encounters me, I will always be the mental person in, and like, no shade, because mental illness, like, I'm the person that would strike up that conversation. I'm the person that like would be the one that people want to walk away from, because they're like, okay, like clearly not living on this planet. So
yeah. That other side of the street's looking pretty good right now. I'm gonna go over there.
Which is something that I'm learning to do after my encounter with that homeless man in Canada, which I won't get into that story, but if you want to hear that story, go and check out the day the dog came into the office podcast.
We've all had our encounters with homeless people.
Terrible. It's not as if I'm trying to suggest that you don't interact with homeless, because they are people too, and goddamn, they deserve to be treated like humans. But it's relevant. Absolutely. The context is relevant to the story.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, go listen to that story after you've listened to this. If you're still listening to this.
if someone is listening to this, please tweet at us with the phrase hashtag made it to the end.
I like that as a hashtag.
I definitely stole that from a podcast that I listened to where they say that exact thing, but you know, we can have it as our own.
I'm hashtag I made it to the end, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Merch coming soon.
Let's start. We'll also start an Indiegogo. Yep. For our horny pub t-shirt collection coming soon.
No, don't. You can't call it horny pub, because then that makes it sound like something completely different. It's the horny anchor.
Oh no, wait, it was the horny anchor. Sorry.
But that's the thing as well. You can come with headsets, so people can put a headset on, so it makes it like they're having a beer somewhere else.
There you go.
Which actually would. I don't know. I think that might be kind of offensive.
Why? Why would it be offensive?
Like, why would you? Hang on a minute. But this pub's really nice. Why are you not happy to be having a beer here?
Because
why do you have to put a headset on somewhere else?
I like the idea that this podcast could be the equivalent of someone like, you know, like the kind of stupid conversations that you do have with your mates in a pub. Like this, this is the equivalent to that. So like someone could literally.
Without the alcohol.
Yeah, but someone could literally go to a pub with no mates. We could, like, in future, we could film this in 360, and they could go to a pub, get themselves a pint, and then they could sit there and listen/watch and be there with us in VR, and it would be like a virtual pub experience. Oh my god, that's the next venture, the virtual pub. It's alt space, but with alcohol.
Pub space.
So trademark it quickly. Yeah, before the episode comes out.
I'm gonna buy all the domains, all the social media.
.com wasn't available, so it's alt pub. Or no, what was it? Pubspace.co.
Oh dear.
Anyway.
Well, I guess on that note, we should probably wrap up.
Is it bad that I'm congratulating ourselves, because I'm like, I would listen to this podcast. This is great. I really enjoyed it.
Unfortunately for you, you already have. So you don't have to go through that again. But yeah, no, it'd be great if like anyone is still listening and did make it through to the end.
Hashtag made it to the end.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely like tweet us and stuff. And
yeah, I'm at Alex Makes VR on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am at Daniel K. Hatton, Hatton. Nice. Just so you know, because people
like,
do sometimes.
Like the boxer Hatton.
Get confused.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I can make sports references. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
That's it. We'll end it there.
Yeah. Bye, everyone. I hope to see you next. Not see you. I hope that you are here to listen next week. Let me do an outro jingle.
Okay, go.
Thanks for listening, listeners. I hope you enjoyed the show. Diddly-doo.
And Disney, if you're listening, Alex is available for...
compose the next... Move out of the way, Lin-Manuel and Miranda. I'm coming for you.
Alex is available for Moana 2. Yeah. She'll even throw in a nice little VR app. To help people.
I'll even throw in a 360 experience for you, deployed on a white labelable app. Anyway, well, good times.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's been lovely.
It's been a bloody pleasure, and I'm excited to do this again next week.
Indeed. And I hope that by next week you will have seen Lawnmower Man.
That will literally be my homework.
That's it. You don't want to go out on a Saturday night, sit in and watch Jeff Fahey and Pierce Brosnan.
I mean, who goes out on a Saturday night? I feel like it's more fashionable these days to stay in. Like, literally, stay in, Netflix, bottle of wine, some takeaway. Oh, that's just like, that's heaven to me. Maybe it's because I'm poor, but no.
That's what Saturdays are made for.
Exactly. Anyway, thank you so much.
And
see you all next week.